You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Would you join me for a word of prayer? Lord, with so much going on in the world and in our lives, we thank you for this week where we get to turn our attention fully to you, who are the author of all goodness. And we thank you for the way you've rolled back the craziness and the chaos of this life through the ministries of this holiest of weeks. Bless us now as we think together on you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been walking through the process of Christian retreat in this Lenten season. And we've talked about the basic structure of a retreat. You begin by reading the Holy Scriptures, or if you don't have a scripture with you or can't read, which has been the case for many Christians throughout history, you remember what you've heard read in church. Because in the Scriptures, God has promised to speak. Then we reflect on. We reflect on what God has spoken in that and start to think about what that means in our lives. And doing that, then we respond to God. We sense or we discern what it is God would have us do based on what we have learned and know now in the light of Holy Scripture. And then we rest in the grace of God. We rest in his goodness and his love for us and are fortified by it. And that brings us to the final stage of the retreat, and it's to re-engage. Just the phrase tells you a little bit about it, right? Re-engage means you've engaged in the first place to redo anything. So we left whatever we were engaged in. We halted, as we said. And we stepped away for this time of retreat. Now, since we're redoing something, I'm going to take you back to where this all started. The Sunday before Lent began, Transfiguration Sunday. And you'll probably remember that story, which we hear every year before Lent begins. They go to the top of the mountain, and there Peter, James, and John see Jesus transfigured with the very uncreated light of God, which his flesh has veiled till now, shining forth from him. And he just happens to be chatting with two dead guys, Moses and Elijah. And whether it's a picture like this one, or like this one, or something more ancient like this one, whether it's a modern or an ancient painting or drawing of the Transfiguration, what you have here, you'll typically see the three apostles, but Peter always looks a little different. James and John are cowering in fear. In the one account, we're told they fall as though dead. But Peter's a little different. At least you notice Peter reaching up there. Peter is the man with a plan, as he usually is. Jesus, it's good for us to be here. You know, we were on our way to Jerusalem for that festival of booths. Why don't I make three booths right here? One for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. We'll just stay here. It'll be great. Because we all know what happens when you leave the mountaintop. Head down into the valley. We talk about this in youth ministry a lot. We call these mountaintop experiences. You go and you have a great hyped up weekend or some great concert, and then you have to go back on Monday morning and face the same bullies in the locker room, the same mean girls in the lunchroom, the same stress and the difficulties. And how do you carry the riches of that experience out into life? What happens in the valley is, first they celebrate with you a little bit, and then pain. The The challenges of life are found in the valleys. And it's as we head down the mountain that we need the fortification of the retreat time on top of the mountain to face with strength the challenges before us, because those challenges are real. First of all, down in the valley, there's children. There's diapers to be changed, and there's children to be raised. I love the way I remember Robin Williams talking about that. He said, "Congratulations, you've just created a little human being who someday will quit college on YouTube." There's the stresses of, as the scriptures say, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Down in the valley, our hungers come into play again when we leave our space of retreat. Our hungers for status in the face of people, for romance, for affection, for physical pleasure. And all those things reassert themselves too. And there's also the difficult things like the conversation we don't want to have with our spouse or our child or our parent. The difficulties of addiction, disease, injury, and death. All those are found in the valley. Which is why Jesus goes there to do the work God has sent him to do. He goes there to become the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The Lamb of God who can truly take away the sin of the world. And that's why the passage we just heard from Philippians ought to strike us almost numb with fear. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. This is the way I memorized it years ago. It was phrased a little differently in this morning's translation. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. To go into that valley and face there the difficulties, the challenges, and the pain. Because the passage, as it says, with the same mind being you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the very form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, grasped onto, but instead emptied himself and took the form of a servant, form of a slave. To receive and to let that same mind be in us, that we might start to let God work in our lives in a new way. We set aside the hungering for status and wealth and all the other challenges that come from our pride, and let ourselves be turned into servants of all. Because this is where salvation happens. Salvation happens in the valley. As the passage goes on, you get to verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. As Christians, we love to point, and rightfully point, to the accomplished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is finished. And indeed it is. He alone can be the sacrifice for our sins. But then that finished salvation needs to be communicated to each one of us individually. And that happens in the valley. If that doesn't make you afraid and doesn't make you tremble, it should. Because the pains we encounter in the valley are like a crucible where we are purified. Now, we're not as familiar with crucibles today as once upon a time people in this valley were when Bethlehem steel was really rolling. But a crucible is like what you see here. It's so hot that the metals melt, and because of their different melting temperatures, they can be separated one from another. The iron from the tin, and the tin from the copper, and the copper from the silver. So that purified, now they can be made into something amazing by a craftsman. Whether it be a high precision knife in the case of steel, or a cross in the case of silver. We must be purified And it is for that reason we are called to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But this is the good news. The good news as we face the valley, as we re-engage, as we leave our time of retreat, is the way this passage goes on, because of those of you who have it memorized know it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling for what? It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. It is still the work of God in Jesus Christ. But now, instead of it being on a cross on a hill outside of Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago, it is now in you that He works. To the will to fight against the sin that comes at you and wells up within you, and the power to overcome it. These are all His work. His work done in you and through you for the sake of your salvation. Because you are meant for something far better than a mountaintop experience. Christ didn't go to the cross so you could live on a mountaintop. He died for the sake of your salvation. That having traveled through the valley of the shadow of death, you may rise beyond it to a far higher destiny. Rather than seeing Him talking to Moses and Elijah, you will be seated beside them in His kingdom. Your chair secured by the forgiveness of sins wrought upon the cross, and your character formed into the very likeness of Him by the crucible of your time in the valley. Every Christian retreat is meant to fortify us for this, our final disposition in the kingdom of God. Will you join me for a word of prayer? Lord, the challenges are real. And like your Son, we pray that the cup might pass us by. But in the end, we all must face our own valley. We all must take up our cross and follow. And in doing so, must have the same mind in us that is in Christ Jesus. But we do this that we might be part of what you are doing in the world. For it is you who work in us and through us. It is your will and your good pleasure that we should be changed into the likeness of your Son. And so, as we've been praying throughout Lent, be part of the care and redemption of all that you have made. Bless us, Lord, with steadfastness. Help us just to show up so you can work in us and through us. For the sake of our own salvation, as it is worked out, and for the blessing of the entire world. We ask it in the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whom we join now on His journey through the valley. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best thought in the day and the night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light.